We've been going through briefly for the next few weeks. We'll be talking about the different kind of five C's. And last week we talked about congregation. So these are the five C's: congregation, community, cultivation, consolidation, and commission. And last week we talked about congregation. We talked about kind of three things, what it's kind of about, what we mean when we gather together. The first is that we gather for the glory of God. The reason we meet together is say, you know, God, we want you to be glorified. And when we come into this place, wherever we are, we want your name to be exalted. And that means a lot of times clearing out what's in our heart and saying, God, we believe that you're here. We believe in your word. And we want to prepare ourselves for that. Second thing is gathering as a flock. And it's nice to know that at least one person was listening, so it was good to hear that this idea of let's gather, we are one sheep, we are part of his family. And the final thing is to gather to hear and respond. When we come together and we hear God and saying, okay, well, how do we move? How do we move forward from this? Today I want to talk a little bit about community. Now, all of these things kind of intermix. When you come to a congregation meeting, you're still part of a community. We're still gathering. But when I talk about community for us, it's talking about where are the places where you get to go deep, where it's something gets a little bit more real. And the passage I want to look at comes from Hebrews 10, chapter 19, 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let's draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let's consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And we'll kind of divide this into three parts. The first part is this part. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened it through us, through the curtain that is through his flesh. So you have a great priest over the house of God. Let's draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. For me, this is the starting point of community, actually, is understanding that actually God, through Jesus Christ, has opened us a way to be saved, to be washed clean. And it's in this faith that we enter into this. When I hear about life groups, you know what people say? They say, I really like my life groups, but I wish we could be more open. I don't know how, there are things on my heart that I want to share, but I'm scared to share them. I don't click with them. I don't feel like I have that connection. Or, I don't know what to do in this group. I feel like I'm not part of it. When we think about this and we have this as a starting point, look, you know what? Because of what Jesus has done, because I have been washed clean in him, I share this, my weaknesses, my struggles, in faith that actually within this group, we can go through this together. Because actually the best conversations that you've had with people, the best groups that you've ever been in, are the ones that are honest and encouraging and supportive. And don't try to just give you all the answers, but say, let's just pray. Let me take you with full confidence before God himself and say, God, will you take care? Will you bless this person? Will you bless this brother and sister in my group? One of the reasons these life groups are so important is last time there was a snow day. Everyone was snowed out. No one gets to the church. I thought, well, if you can't get to church because of the snow and you live near people, would you still meet up? If you're snowed in for like 3 weeks, would you say, oh, well, I just won't go to church this week? Or would you gather together and say, well, can we at least pray together? Can we at least fellowship? To understand, actually, we need one another in community to say, well, I have a need and I need to turn to someone. I've had a lot of people come to me and they get to the end of the line. And this happens the most common with marriages. So them and their spouse have been fighting for so long and they have so many disagreements. They finally get the courage to say, well, we're going to talk to someone about it. But by then, their hearts are so stubborn and so stiff. They just say, well, we're just coming to really tell you that we're going to get divorced. And at that point, it's like, well, I'm trying to save throughout lifelines. And you're going to try counseling. You know, what's the point? What's the point? And the thing is, you get the idea that they never shared the struggles along the way. They never asked someone to pray for their marriage or pray for help or pray for strength. It just kind of went along. And then one day, it was too much. The importance of small pockets of community are you have those places to say, okay, look, I need you to pray for me. And not just about exams, but this is what's really going on in my life. This is my struggle. And I hate to tell you again, but this is the 15th week in a row I've said this is my struggle, but I'm still struggling with it. Can we just keep praying? And that community is the one that says, yeah, okay, I want to invest in this. It's not easy. No one wants to be the first to share. The worst is you share something deeply personal and everyone sits there and goes, yep. Okay, so any other prayer requests? But it's something where we say, well, maybe we should learn. Well, the first thing then I would say is community is to say gathering as communities of faith. When I say faith, we say we believe that God has cleansed us. So we come to share openly knowing that we're not coming under condemnation, but coming under God's love. And it's there that we learn to share that love. And this is the second part. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, which is the verse from before. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The second point being, we gather as communities of grace. One of the most amazing things about Christians is not our power to judge people for what they've done wrong, but it's the power to extend grace, because we know that we are just as broken, that we need God's love and forgiveness just as much as everyone else. The hardest thing is when you do something wrong and you confess it, but instead of being told off, you're saying, let me come and let me pray for you. And I think Clara's sharing was just so honest, saying, look, this is where I went wrong, but I know God's love, and I was surrounded by this community, and I could look to them. And even though I wasn't listening to them before, here they were ready. That is such a power of transformation. We see that so much in Jesus' life, how he could speak convicting words of truth, and yet still at the same time offer grace. That grace that says, well, now that you've seen me and know me, go and sin no more. Finally, the last part. And let us consider how to stir one up another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And that's gathering as community of the lights. The reason we have these small groups is that in these smaller groups, you have a chance to actually say, maybe you should try doing this in your workplace. I'll give you encouragement. I want to say, you know, I know you're struggling to see where God's working, but let's go. You can do this. For us in the UK, it's relatively comfortable. We can meet at church on a Sunday in these groups like this. But there is a real possibility that one day this country may not look so favorably on Christians, that we might not be allowed to gather together as this. And if you're not used to saying, well, let's gather in whatever small groups we can in our homes to say, how can we still be a community of light to the world around us? We wouldn't be ready. Thankfully, God still lets us have grace to meet together like this. So it means that there's a purpose for this, that we're still being trained, we're being built up. It's then saying, well, then in my small groups, how can I still be trained up more, to learn more, to understand God's word more, to be ready for the day when actually Christians are scorned and abused and rejected by society. And all you have to do is look someplace else where Christians are persecuted and say, well, how do they survive? Do they just need the big churches? Or are they still thriving? That last part, which says, as you know, the day is drawing near, is saying, well, times aren't going to get easier for Christians. It's going to get harder. But it doesn't mean that we're afraid, but that we're eager to say, let me continue to walk in truth and holiness in life. This is the path that we're kind of walking towards. Our church, you know, we're trying to try some new things. Actually, Junie and Terrence over there, they're the ones who are kind of looking after the community part of our church and life groups. And they've been to visit a few of them and see what they're like. And we're always looking. And I know some people say, we would love to have a life group up in the north. We'd love to have one on the east. And we're trying to come up with ways to say, well, how do we build up and train up life group leaders and get this going? But I think start praying, say, God, actually, I want to be used. I want to find a pocket of community where I can be blessed and be a blessing, where I can demonstrate grace, where I can walk in faith, where I can be one of your members of light. So let's pray. Father, we thank you indeed so much for just how you provide. And we thank you that our church, we have these opportunities and we have some life groups. And of course, we'd love to have more. And I'm sure we will. But God, will you be using the groups that we have now and the brothers and sisters in our church? Will we just continue to be eagerly seeking you? Will we open up in our honesty? Will we trust you to be in pockets of grace and of light? Lord, we need you above all. Can you shape and mold us? Continue to prepare and provide. We pray for Junie and Terrence as they head up this part. We continue to seek your guidance for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's come and worship.